Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
Welcome to Burning in Hell.
What's up, guys? It's time for the remix today. It's Too Tired to Be Crazy in Hell. We have Violet Benson. I am such a fangirl. I've been following her for so many years. She is daddy. She's on Instagram. Thank you for coming to hell, Violet.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for being too tired to be crazy in hell.
Honestly, I will be too tired to be crazy in hell. And even just from the name, I was like, we are going to go in deep in terms of our emotions. And I'm just excited to talk about our issues today.
I'm excited because I feel like I've been going through ups and downs, especially recently. So when you were like, oh, we're going to talk about emotions and anxiety and all that, I was like, perfect. I just cried to my mom 2 days ago. So I'm like, this is just what I need.
Now, I'm kind of notorious on Summer House for having daddy issues. Like, my dad was my tennis coach. So if we're going to get into it, it's like, he was like my number one fan, but also like the number one person. If I disappointed, I felt like he didn't love me. And it made me feel like I always had to perform for guys to like make them like me. Like, if I wasn't fucking awesome in every way, I'm like, why would this guy love me? So that's what I've been working on, is just like being my boring, authentic self. And you also, I read on your website that your biggest fear was to be boring. Why are we like this?
Oh my God, I can't believe you actually read that one. Oh, I love that. Yeah. For those who don't know, I used to have a blog called daddyissuesla.com, and I write poems on it, and in one of my, or blogs, in one of my poems I talked about that was my biggest fear. That it still is sometimes, which is so stupid. Plus, I think because we're internet personality, like, A, I feel like people like us were meant to be who we are at this point, which is like to entertain people, because we have such a need to be loved and liked because of our the way we grew up. But yeah, it's like I always had this fear that, like, my biggest fear was that the men that I would date would find me boring. My ex-boyfriend used to always say, Violet, that's literally the last, boring is one of the last things I would describe you as.
That's like a straight up anxiety thought that makes no sense, because your personality is just all over the place. You love cats. You're an incredibly interesting person.
You love cats. You love cats. Obviously, you're like a really interesting, good person.
Also, you're Russians. You have a very fun sense of humor.
Yeah, not everyone gets it. I feel like a lot of times more British people get my sense of humor and Australians, because I have a dry sense of humor. Americans sometimes do get offended by my sense of humor.
Yes, and do you care when people get... I feel like you go off on people when they get offended by you.
Oh my God, I feel so bad. Like, I try not to, but I feel like quarantine has really got to me. Like, it's been hard. Like, you don't understand with quarantine... Everyone is more miserable, including myself. And I try to stay positive, and I feel like it makes, I feel like some, for whatever reason, it's always about like, I fake it, and then it's for other people to feel happy, and then it makes me happier. Like, I can't explain, but like with quarantine, people have become more miserable. So people are mean on the internet. And I normally am really good at avoiding it. But when I'm already feeling down or in a bad mood, I have no, like, I suddenly do start to notice certain things. And I also have three social media accounts on Instagram that are large. So it's not just like one Instagram account where someone's mean to me. I get the I get the bullying like triple.
Which one do you get the most hate on or affects you the most? Your like meme page daddy issues or your individual one, Violet Benson?
Wow. Well, there's also my podcast Instagram.
So, and your podcast.
I guess the podcast one is the nicest because people follow it specifically for that. Daddy issues, now it can be mean because I also post reels and videos of my podcast or of me giving advice. So it's not going to be for everyone, but people don't know. People always get surprised when people, when I tell anyone that anyone's mean to me, because I am a very like, you can sit with us, and I'm very inclusive, but people get surprised. The people that are normally mean to me are men. So it is kind of weird to take in.
About
men are the ones that bully me. Yeah, women rarely. I feel like when I get a mean woman, I'm kind of like, hey, what's up, babe? Like, let's talk it out. What's going on?
But yeah, yeah.
Men, they're really mean. Like, men are the ones that bully me on the internet.
It's so funny. The meanest reaction I've ever gotten to a tweet, I said, like, if you write exclamation marks in a text, I will never fuck you. Men were going at my family. Like, men who be told that they, like, that you won't fuck them. And like, but then there's another side of men who were like, hey, I stopped messaging people with exclamation marks and I've been like getting way more responses. Thank you so much.
It's crazy how some men on the internet, because they're so like anti-feminism or yeah. they just feel so attacked because of feminists, yeah. even though like your tweet had nothing to do with feminism, but a man who's like so upset, he feels so oppressed as like being a man in this world that he's just like, how dare you? Yeah. And he like takes all of his anger of women that rejected him throughout his life. Like literally the same thing. Like I had an episode called Dumb Bitch Bootcamp, which I was teaching myself and other girls about like what you need to do in order to get a commitment. And I was just like, stop fucking these guys. Like not everyone deserves your energy, your pussy, your time, whatever.
Oh, I saw your cat run in the background or a dog. I'm not sure.
Pancakes, can you relax?
Pancakes is getting hyped up by this conversation.
Chill out.
She said all men are trash in her meow. That was
she was crazy. Just like, oh, yeah, they are. No one's going to be mean to my mommy. That's what happened. But yeah, like, so basically the video was just like telling women, stop fucking him if he's not giving you a commitment. Like, stop fucking him if he's like doing the bare minimum. You know what? Enough. And I'm like, it's not just your pussy. It's your time. It's your energy. It's your personality. Stop. And some men got so offended. They're like literally calling me a whore for that. So I'm like, first of all, how are these girls, me and these girls are whores if we're literally not fucking you? So now we're whores because we're not fucking you. Then if I talk about fucking guys, then I'm a whore for that. But then if I talk about don't fuck guys, just masturbate, I'm a whore for masturbating because how dare I masturbate instead of wanting to fuck you? So it's really like confusing at this point. I'm always a whore no matter what I do.
Oh my God, you're so right. It's such a lose. And it is empowering as a female to be like, yeah, fuck guys. Like, I feel like me and you are very open about sex on the internet. But like, we also have to be honest as like sensitive souls and cat people that having sex is an exchange of energy. And if his shit is toxic, it starts to dim your light.
Yes. And that's what I've been trying to tell girls. I feel like I'm really conflicted because sometimes I do talk about sex and sometimes I'm like, oh, stop fucking him. And then the girls are like, wait, what? Which one is it? Like, I'm in the middle of fucking him.
They're
no,
like
I don't
know. Riding him. And wait, answer my DM.
No, I got so many DMs and so many messages from like hundreds of girls telling me they dumped their boyfriend after listening to my episode, Dumb Bitch Bootcamp. So I felt almost responsible for so many breakups. I felt bad about that part because I was like, that was not the point.
No, breakups are so empowering and I'm obsessed with people who break up. I think it's like people are meant to be together. I feel like their energies will find each other. I'm very energetic right now, but if it's not meant to be, like, it's so easy to stay in something that's just like good enough.
I agree. And that's one thing that people don't understand is that people think the hardest thing in dating is about finding someone, and actually the hardest thing about dating is letting go of the wrong person, because you get so comfortable and you get so settled and you're just like, damn, I don't want to be alone, like this person's nice to me. And like one time I did like a pros and cons list about this guy that I was dating. There was like 50 cons and then there was like a few pros of like, he drives me around, I hate driving, he's nice to me sometimes. I was like, he's nice to me sometimes. He compliments me. We like the same movies. And that's it. The cons were like, my dad cried when he found out we're dating. He can't get a pickup. We can't have sex. He's an ex-drug addict. He lives at home. He has no job. I'm not kidding you. It sounds like I'm exaggerating, but I'm not. I kid you not. My friends were like, V, read this every day. I'm like, okay. I opened this. I wrote it. The next day, I look at it. And I'm like, yep, uh-huh. I take my phone. Instead of deleting his number, I text him and I'm like, I text him saying, I think we should be together. I feel like you're my person. And he was like, I am not. And I was like, all right.
He also said he hates me. That's on the con list.
So another con doesn't even want to be with me.
Oh my God. Oh my, you're hitting on so many important things right now. I have a friend who's like the most gorgeous, beautiful, like smart, funny person. Who's with
Is it me?
It could be you. I'm speaking generalities, but she's with a guy who sucks. And I was like, why do you want to be with him? And she's like, he loves me. And I'm like, bitch, like, so many guys can love you. But she's like, but everyone's like, find a guy who makes you happy, who's there for you. There are so many guys. That's a bare minimum. A guy should love you. It's like, do you love him? And that's how I started all my tweets of like, do I like him or does he just wear his hat backwards? Because it's like, we don't even like the dudes a lot of the time. Sometimes we'll convince ourselves to like them, especially when we think we have them like in our pocket. And then they're like, hey, I thought this was just a hookup. And you're like, what? I thought I was doing you a favor, giving you my vagina. So
yeah, that's why I stopped giving my vagina.
So like, when was the last time you had sex?
April. Which feels like forever ago. In quarantine time, that's like 2 years.
In quarantine years, that's 10 years. I actually didn't have sex from December to July. And you go through a lot of emotions. It was just me and my cats. But I feel like, have you been public at all with a relationship before?
No, I feel like that's the one thing I feel the need to be silent about. Like, I never want to disrespect anyone I'm dating. And it's already, I feel like, hard to date doing what I do because people get so scared I'm going to talk about them. I do sometimes make comments, but whenever I make comments of guys I used to date, it's always from years ago. Yeah. And I never mention their names. I don't really like to give them nicknames. And like, I also feel like I've learned because that was this year. Wow, time is moving really slowly. Beginning of this year, I was dating someone and I did kind of talk about him. And I feel like it like went to his ego. And then when we stopped talking, every new girl he would talk to, he'd be like, my ex-girlfriend has daddy issues. And I was like, bro, we never even fucked. Like, I'm not your ex-girlfriend. So I feel like that kind of taught me to just not to really mention people when I talk about things.
I mean, I blow their spot up. I give full names and like social security numbers when I'm talking about someone. I'm like working on not talking about people as much, but it's like every guy is different. Some guys will get like super, super insecure knowing that like you have a platform and they might not, but you just have to find the right guy who's like cool with it. I feel like, cause you don't want to be filtering yourself 24/7.
Yeah. I mean, there's some quote that says, if you don't want people to write about you, you shouldn't have behaved. You should have behaved differently.
I mean, yeah, like we're always honest. At the end of the day, I'm being honest and I'm speaking to how I feel. But also, I like say really positive things about like a guy when I'm really into him. So,
oh, me too. Oh my God. I get so, I feel like I speak so highly of them when I'm into them. And then, but I feel like I've learned from the past is that like I barely knew this guy, but I was just so excited to have somebody who was obsessed with me because he like loved me for 2 years and finally I gave him a chance. So I was like, nothing can go wrong. He's obsessed with me. Well, I was wrong. Cause he's just, you know, but I'm like looking back now, I'm so happy we did end up dating. Like, I'm so happy that last time when I was like, we should be together. And he was like, no, we shouldn't. And I was like, God bless. Like, and angels were watching over me and they were like, V, you will cheat on this guy if you stay with him because you guys don't have sex. Like, even my mom told me that. And my mom was very conservative.
Have you cheated before?
No, I never have in my life. I would never because I've been cheated on. So I know what it feels like.
But yeah, there's also girls who stay with, we don't talk enough about like how dudes have sexual problems. Not to blow up the spot, but like girls are always protecting guys' penises when it's like, you even said it before, like some guy couldn't get his dick up.
The point is that for all the men who now are going to get upset with this conversation, I also can understand. I also can understand how hard it is sometimes for guys to get, because for us, all we need to do is get wet. And if we don't get wet, that we just put on lube and we're good. For men, it's the pressure of getting their dick up, keeping it up, not coming too fast, not coming too slow. So you do have to look at the psychology now behind sex. And we do make a lot of sex jokes sometimes only because men have made so many sex jokes. I'm not saying it's fair. It's not as fair, but if you can't get your dick up, that's okay. We're not here to tell women don't date those men. There's been other ways to make that woman come, whether it's using a vibrator together on her, like figuring out how to go down on a woman. Like the guy who couldn't get his dick up, he also was like, that's not really my thing to go down on girls. And I was like, what is your thing?
Yeah.
Adding girls on Instagram and liking their picture, even though you're dating me, that's your thing? Oh, okay, cool.
No, but
that was his thing.
I have to be empathetic, but I do think like, as in like, we need to talk about it more and like guys have to talk about it with their partners. Like, hey, I have this issue and like, how can we help each other and that kind of communication. Ultimately, like I've been like so oversimplifying things where it's like, if you have to ask, like, do I like him? Are we together? If you ask any questions, like it's not right and just move on.
I know whenever I start to Google, like how to make a cancer man like me, signs this man is attracted to me, that's when I'm like, oh, I'm in trouble. He's probably not that into me.
You're on Google being like, how can I tell if a guy likes me? That's when you know he hates you.
Yeah. That's when you
like,
know.
When you're in a relationship and you're like, how do you know if two people are right for each other? That's when you know your shit is over.
No, but sometimes like I need that extra validation. Like a guy, I feel like that's where my daddy just come from. A guy can literally be like, you're so beautiful. You're my future wife, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, love the compliments. And then I still go on Google and I'm like, how to tell a guy, what does a guy need to tell you in order to know that he likes you? And I just need that. Like, I even do it with my cat sometimes. My cat's so loving, too loving. And I'll Google how to tell if your cat loves you.
In Burning in Hell, we talk about like people's dark shit and demons, but I want to know, like, what was your first time you realized you had daddy issues?
Sorry, it's like not a funny story. I just feel bad that I'm gonna have to say it. The first time I realized I had daddy issues was when I moved to the United States. Oh, I sound so foreign when
I
say
that. I love it. She's so exotic.
I am. I'm from the two countries everyone loves the most, Israel and Russia. Like at this point, I don't know where to say I'm from. So are you Jewish, by the way?
I'm part Jewish. I'm from Brooklyn. So like I have
Brooklyn
blood. Yeah. There's anyway. So many Jewish Russians in Brooklyn. I'm Brooklyn. Surprised you guys didn't move there.
I don't know. My dad thought there were too many people in New York. So we moved to Los Angeles. He's not really a fan of people. He's very antisocial. The first time I realized I may have daddy issues was when I moved to the States, and one of my first American friends, this girl Kylie, I was at her house, and her dad walked into the room and she acted super casual and chill about that. And then she asked her dad for advice and he gave her the advice. And then she's like, oh my God, thank you so much, dad. And they kissed and hugged each other. And then they say, I love you. She's like, thank you, dad. I love you. And he's like, I love you too. And then they kissed on the cheek and hugged each other. And I kid you not, I was sitting in shock. I thought I was like in the twilight. I thought I was being pranked. And I'm like, is this? And I literally looked at her and I go, is this normal for you? And she goes, what is? And I go, you just always ask your dad for advice? Like just casually like that? She goes, yeah, he's like my best friend. And I was like, so you guys, how often do you say I love you to your dad? She goes, what do you mean? Like all the time. And I'm like, you guys just like hug each other casually? Like, no, it's no big deal. She goes, are you okay? And I'm like, I was like, I literally can't even imagine like trying to hug my dad. Like, what if I try to hug my dad? And he's like, ew, get away from me. Like that was my thought as like a 14-year-old. Cause it seems so not normal to me to have physical touch with your dad. For my dad, he's so like old Russian school that mm-hmm. if I have friends in the living room with us and if my dad walked into the living room and there were me and other girls in there, he would walk out of the room. Or if he was sitting in the living room and me and my girlfriends walked in, there underage girls, my dad would get so uncomfortable to be around us. He would just get up and walk out. And then like the only time my dad and I would say I love you to each other would be on a birthday card once a year. We would write it. Mm-hmm. So it was never, we never said, or sometimes when I got older, like sometimes it would be my birthday. So, or vice versa. So we know we're about to call each other. So we both don't pick up. And then in the voicemail we say, I love you. But the thought of saying it to like each other when you're listening, it was like, it's weird. Yeah. So like, that was never my thing. Like I didn't have that. So I think that was the first time I kind of was like, huh,
I don't have like what love is from a male figure.
Yeah, exactly. So it was confusing to me, but I will say that now that I'm older, daddy issues not only changed my life and my followers' life and like my fans' life in a way that it made you more open. But when I started daddy issues, it changed my life in a way that I was super depressed. When I started daddy issues, it was in ways I was really lost as a person. Mm. And daddy issues, the followers, the fans, helped me find who I was. And they literally created me. And then I continued the creation. But it was the first time in my life that I felt like I didn't need to fit in once I finally kind of, in a quote unquote, fit in. And it was the first time I found myself. And daddy issues itself finally made me realize once I felt like I know who I am. And once I felt like I don't care anymore to fit in, it was the first time in my life that I was just like, you know what? If I love someone, I'm just going to tell them and I don't need that validation. I remember it was the first time that I realized that I don't care if my dad rejects me. If I want to tell my dad that I love him, I'm going to tell him because I want him to know that, because like life is too short and I don't want him to ever like leave this earth not knowing that like I love him and like I forgive him for us not having a good relationship growing up. So I took the courage on myself and I was okay with accepting rejection. And I started to tell my dad I love him face to face. And hugging him and kissing him. And first it was awkward, but then it got comfortable. And like me and my whole family were all so much softer and so much more of like a family unity than we ever were before. And it's all thanks to daddy issues.
That's incredible. Well, I feel like the internet is so powerful in that I was similar in that I would post all these like stupid, weird thoughts I was having, like talking about like farting or like being nervous about dating. And then you see everyone like understanding you and then you feel so much less alone. I also know that you came from Russia. So like, did you immediately feel like you didn't fit in?
I would say, well, okay. So in Russia, the reason we left Russia, we had to flee it because it was communism and during communism, we're Jewish. Mm-hmm. So during communism, when you're Jewish, you already have a terrible life. My mom looks more like me. So white, blonde, she has blue eyes, I have green eyes. My dad's more like brownish and he has like darker skin, brown hair, brown eyes. So my dad definitely had a worse upbringing as a Jew in Russia than my mother did. So for my mother, dating would just be like, her upbringing was more like somebody would come up to her and be like, oh, I just found out you were a kike. There's no way you're a kike, right? Because I would never date one. Are you? So it was like, that was kind of, and they would be like, that's so disgusting. I would never date a kike. Why wouldn't you tell me you're a kike? That was like my mom's experience. My dad's experience is way worse. I mean, his father got beat up to death for being a Jew when my dad was like 17, 18 in jail. So he had a completely different upbringing for being more Jewish looking. So the reason we had to flee Russia, so in a way we didn't feel accepted, was because when my mom had my sister and I, even though we're so white looking, every day she was getting death threats that they were going to murder her kike children. So when the gates opened during communism, in order to go to flee to a different country, my parents did it legally and they applied in Australia, America, England, Israel, and Canada, and no one accepted yet. And Israel was the first one. So Israel is actually known for taking on a lot of Russian immigrants. That's why there's so many Russians in Israel. Jewish or not Jewish, Israel took in all the immigrants during communism, which people don't know. So Israel
is so informative, by the way.
Yeah. So Israel was the first country to accept us. So we ended up, my parents obviously wanted Canada or the US, but they didn't say anything yet. They were too scared the gates were going to close. And once the gates closed, like, and once you leave Russia also, like they took away your citizenship. You can only have, as a Jew, you can only have one suitcase per person. And like, they take away any jewelry or anything you have. So you really have to hide it. So I carry around this, like, here it's for good luck. It's a horseshoe and it's a gold necklace with, it's from Russia. My mother's brother gifted to her when she was young. And I carry for good luck because I have very few things that we were able to take from Russia. Even our money, you weren't able to take with you. Like, it was crazy. Wow. So anyway, so in Russia, it felt like in a way as a family, we didn't fit in because we're Jewish. In Israel, it was a way where when all the Russians immigrated to Russia, we were looked at as, I don't want to sound racist when I say this. I'm trying to make a comparison, but you know, the U.S. sometimes Americans talk about people from Mexico a certain way.
Yeah.
So, like, that's how Russians were viewed in Israel.
You were looked at like a minority.
Yeah. So in Israel, I was no longer Jewish. I was Russian now. So in Russia, I wasn't Russian. I was Jewish. And then in Israel, in the beginning, we first moved to Netanya. We weren't Jewish. We were Russian. So it was like, oh, we're cleaning people's houses. Like, those are the jokes and things like that. Like, now it's completely different, but there were always like those jokes. And then in America, I don't like to say I'm American in a weird way. I'm so proud of being an immigrant, but it is funny that for a lot of Israelis or Jewish people, I'm not Jewish because I'm so white looking, so I'm Russian. To Russians who are real Russians who hate Jews, they say, you're not Russian, you're Jewish. And then in America, they're like, you're white. And then I'm like, I don't consider myself like American white because I'm an immigrant. So I feel like in all three different countries, I don't fully fit in.
Yeah.
So I just have to accept myself for who I am.
But also it's great. I think Los Angeles is such a melting pot that it's kind of been cool to see you like create such a unique career path. Like, but you at first were in accounting. You were in the most boring industry in like comedy standards. And then you were like, fuck this.
Yeah, well, I enjoy doing accounting, but also it's because when you move as an immigrant to this country, you're not, your first thought is not like, oh, I'm gonna make it on TV or the internet. This doesn't make sense, especially because I feel like everyone in entertainment that's famous, especially when it was for movies and things like that, unless they're from Canada, mm-hmm. they have connections.
Yep.
And as much as people think that it's random, all these models being super famous or these actors being super famous, it's nepotism and it's real. Yep. So the internet, I feel like, was one of the first ways to kind of allow
even people the playing field.
Yeah, to kind of enter. And although like a lot of influencers do come from really rich families.
Yes.
Because they have more, they don't.
They're the freedom to like.
Yeah, they're the freedom to create. For me, it happened randomly. I was just really depressed in my accounting job because the women in my work field were, in my team were making my life miserable. They're so, you know, I'm thankful for them though. Like I never look at myself as a victim. Although my mom then also tells me, you need to sometimes feel bad for yourself. So it's conflicting.
I know it's funny. I'm half Italian and the other half is like Russian, Polish, Austrian, Jewish. So like, and I don't know, but both sides of my family, when we talk about anxiety, like there's definitely anxiety in our ancestry. And that's like, it does really come down to us. And do you feel like some of maybe your depression and anxiety comes from like your family's history and stuff?
I wish. Sometimes I feel like, because then I think it's so much easier to connect your sadness to something. That's why a lot of times, like I remember last year, I think I'm sad over a guy and I start crying about the guy. And then I really, from crying, I start crying about my mortgage. And then my friends were like, you're not sad about the guy. You're sad about that you have to pay a mortgage now. And I'm like, huh, that is like, so it's like, it's so much easier always to connect your sadness to something. So it's almost easier to feel okay about yourself. If you have it in your family, then you're just like, oh, well, that's why I'm like this.
I feel like it did help me knowing like, oh, I definitely have anxiety in my family to be like, this is why I'm like this. But truly anxiety and depression, it's hard to sometimes find like what you're actually upset about. Like I would cry and then continue crying because I'm like, I never let myself cry. And then you just keep crying for like 100 reasons. So I totally get it. And depression, you're like, I don't know why I can't get out of bed, but I can't.
I can totally relate to that. Like literally right now you're talking about crying and I'm like in the back of my head, I'm just like, oh my God, I'm about to cry. And I'm like, why would I cry right now? But I just want to cry. 2 days ago, I was on the phone with my mom. We're talking and then I just got quiet because I have a hard time showing emotions. Although like I talk about them a lot. I only talk about things after the fact. It's hard for me to admit when I'm going through it. Mm-hmm. I only want to tell people once I overcame it. It's like it's like my strength. Like I want to show how strong I am so other people can feel strong. I feel embarrassed if like I'm feeling down, then it's just so embarrassing. Cause I'm like, I'm supposed to give so many other people their like advice on how to be okay. And if I'm not okay right now, then everything I'm doing is fake and it's not real. Like, you know, like I'm supposed to be strong for everyone else. Mm-hmm. So like, but 2 days ago I was on the phone with my mom and we're talking and then I just got quiet. And then she's like, what's wrong? And I was like, nothing. And I'm quiet and quiet. And then she goes, Violetta, you need to cry. And I was like, no, I don't. She's like, just let it out. Just start crying. And I was like, no, I'm so embarrassed.
Well, we're taught, especially I feel like Russian culture, it's so like strong and like, it's not known to have like too many emotions, at least like on the tennis court. I know the girls, like they wouldn't show emotion ever. And they're so scary and tough, like Rocky IV. So, but like crying is actually so good for you, but we're taught and definitely in America, like it's so weak. But do you always feel pressured to give like the right advice or like to look on Instagram like you're like happy and like sexy and like having fun all the time?
Yeah, I think I do. And I think, and again, when I do show sadness or things like that, it's more once I overcame it. So I can tell people how to move forward. Cause I have a hard time like asking for help in general.
Yeah.
So I have a hard time, like, I don't want to go on Instagram and show that I'm sad. And then all these people are like, oh, you're okay, like don't worry, or compliments.
You don't want people worrying about you. Yeah.
So embarrassed and just like, I don't want you wasting your time right now feeling sorry for me. Like, I'm fine. Like, I'll be okay. Don't feel bad.
Yeah. You're like, what's the point of going on and being like, guys, I'm not okay. Like, they can't fix anything. It's going to make people worried about you.
And I feel like it's me. It's going to look like I'm trying to get attention or something like that. And it's like, if I wanted attention, I'll just show my titties, you know, like feelings.
Funny because I've followed you for so long. So now that I'm like meeting you, I'm trying to think of like what I thought of you in the past. And I feel like in the past, you kind of made like being single and sad kind of like cool, if that makes sense. Like I just remember you being like super hot and just like with your cat and being like, I'm single as fuck. And I just like, ate a bunch of shit and like, I'm sad, I want someone, but I don't give a fuck. Like, so you kind of like embrace that at times?
No, because sometimes people are like, sometimes people think that I'm sad because I'm single. And I'm like, no, I like your point of view better, where it's like, you're sad and single, but you're not sad because you're single.
Dating. Yeah. Or sometimes now I think about it, you probably weren't single all the time, but it's like just you being like independent and like rolling around with your cat.
I'm single until I'm married.
Girl, I respect that.
Like, I'm always single. Like, I mean, I can be dating someone, but I'm like, yeah, I'm dating someone, but like, I'm single. It's no bueno anymore to start like rushing into like, oh my God, yeah, like, what do you want me to do for you? Do you want me to sit at the table for you? Do you want me to cook you dinner? Like, no, I'm sorry. Your ring on my finger, do I look like your wife? No, then get the fuck out of my house. Like, cook your own dinner.
I didn't realize this whole like wifey duties thing, because I never did wifey duties. Like, I'm a lazy piece of shit, but I realize it's actually so empowering. Like, don't do wifey duties for a dude that like you're not locked up with. Like, like, I understand if you enjoy like cooking something for him, do it if it's you enjoy it, but not to like make him like you. Hell to the no.
Yeah, actually, some women are like, oh, but it takes two people, and why can't I just show him that I like him? It's like, well, that's because eventually he's gonna dump you and he's gonna marry the next girl, and you're gonna sit there and you're gonna wonder, why did he marry that other girl? All she ever made him was popcorn. And it's like, yeah, because he kept having to work for it. And with you, you made it so easy. He realized at one point there's no reason for him to work for it. You already gave him everything he wanted, and he didn't even have to make a commitment to you.
Yes, preach. And never be a try hard in relationships, because if you try hard in the beginning, that means you have to try hard the whole fucking time, and that's exhausting. I like to like give the bare minimum. It's like blowjobs in the very beginning. I don't even go hard with my blowjob in the beginning. I tease a little bit. I'll half-ass it tease. If you want the whole thing, wait till later, because if you go hard in the beginning, then you have to do it all the fucking time. I mean, like, I'll do it good, but like,
go hard. What? Such a perfectionist. Like, I can't have a below like a sea level blow job.
I'm saying like, I won't go for like 5 minutes. I will go for like 2 minutes in the beginning, because I can't put in that kind of effort.
What happens when you go for 2 minutes and you're like, okay, let's keep watching the movie?
Then we'll probably have sex.
Oh, yeah, I've done that before too. Yeah.
Welcome to Codependence, the weekly podcast that gives you direct access to me, Maya Allen, and my sis, Sierra Miller. Every week, we give you insider access into our sisterhood and lives. Part self-help and part comedic relief, codependence is all about letting your guard down. Expect a lot of laughs and maybe some tears as we navigate this crazy world together. Join us every Wednesday for this funny, tea-spilling, shade-throwing podcast.
Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
But I do think in the beginning, in general, like, I also want to see what he does for me. Like, I want to know, like, can you drive? Are you driving me around? Like, can you cook? Like, if a guy
can cook,
have
a license yet?
I personally don't have a license.
No, it's
an issue, but I don't want to talk about it right now. Also,
you don't have a license because you're from New York.
I know, but that's I got one. It expired. It's a whole fucking thing, Violet. I don't want to get into it. Because I wasn't doing shit during quarantine. I should have renewed it. But yeah, like, I want to know, instead like of being like, how can I help him, be like, oh, like, does he like clean up after me? Like, these are things I like, and like, I will find a dude who does that. Or if he does, we get success.
I used to be such like, I need to be like, because one thing with my dad, like, my dad would always put me down for everything else, because my sister and I were so competitive and she was just better at everything in school than me. Mm-hmm. But one thing my dad always said about me growing up was that I was beautiful, which sounds so like shallow now, you know, mm-hmm. but it was the one thing I thought that I had. was to be beautiful, but then I never felt beautiful enough. I just want to be more and more beautiful, because it's like the only thing I felt proud about myself, that this is why my dad loves me, because I'm beautiful. Mm-hmm. So I feel like when I was dating men, it was always my need to be beautiful. Like one of my ex-boyfriends were on and off for like 6-7 years, maybe longer. My body was constantly shaved up. If we were together, let's say for months without breaking up, every day my whole body was shaved and clean. Every day I wanted this man to think I'm beautiful. I would like always wear cute dresses, always have makeup on. Like it was this need where like I'm this objectifying myself without realizing where all I am is this a face and a body. And I just want to be beautiful for somebody to love me, because that's all I have to offer. Mm-hmm. So of course, then I would have a perception to be scared that I would end up boring, because I didn't even know that I had anything else to offer except my looks, or then to be fun, you know, because God forbid
you're
you see
so good right now. It's all coming full circle. Like you're nailing it. But it also goes back to like us in the beginning being like, how do I feel comfortable around him? Like, I don't want to shave my legs every day. And like, it's funny because there's two types of guys. I'm Italian, so I'm very hairy and coarse hair girl, coarse. And like, and when I shave, like my skin's sensitive, not to get into it, but like I'm bad at shaving every day. And I either have guys who are like, whoa, like you don't shave every day, or guys who are like, baby, I don't give a fuck. You could have hair everywhere and I'll still like eat your pussy all day. So like, I just lean towards those kind of guys. And like, I want someone who literally thinks I'm gorgeous when I'm not trying at all.
Yeah. I mean, I've just like, I've reached like a while back now, like I do that thing where I finally just don't wear makeup around guys, or I do the bare minimum, where like now on my first dates, I like to dress down.
Mm.
Then it's the same, like for you, it's with blowjobs. For me, it's like outfit. I just dress down on first dates. So then they can see that. So then when I actually look at my bet, like suddenly I put on a dress, they're like, oh my God, you know? Yes. So it kind of versus like on the first date, I'm already like full on makeup and
yes.
Like a cute dress and heels, all that. Like, no, fuck that. I don't even kiss guys.
Because you want him to, if he likes you, you want him to be like, oh, like he's, I love when people say like, oh, you're naturally pretty. Like that, I feel like that's so much more of a compliment than being like, you're so fucking hot. But you also have like huge boobs.
So big.
Gorgeous big boobs. I'm like a B, but like my friends who have big boobs, they're so easily sexualized. Yes, bitch.
Oh my God.
Yes, bitch.
So big. It's crazy.
They're amazing and beautiful, but you, if we wore the same outfit, you would look like a straight up, like you're in a music video where I could look like cute girl next door. So how do you, dress for dates? Like with your tits?
I mean, I feel like a lot of my outfits always are closed off on the chest, but even when it's closed off, because I like it to be tight on my waist, because I have a small waist, then it's still kind of, you can see that I have a big boobs. And that's actually the most annoying thing. I feel like people always tell me I have fake tits and I don't. And it's like this whole like thing to prove like, yeah, well, my tits are fake and they look just like yours. I'm like, okay, congratulations. And you had a really good boob job. Like, what do you want me to tell you? And it's the one thing that I have that I love about myself. Like, can I just have this one thing? Like, God bless me with nice tits, because I had to move to America at 14 without speaking English. And I'm a very awkward child. And he was like, girl, you're so embarrassing. Here's a pair of tits. And thank you. Like, I needed them to survive high school.
What's your biggest physical insecurity?
Well, it used to be my teeth. Even though it seems like I have perfect teeth now, I have veneers. It used to be my teeth because I was born with enamel deficiency. So I was born with, no enamel on my teeth. And I've talked about this on one of my episodes of my podcast. It's called I Was Born with a Birth Defect. So it means
so
I
weren't white.
It wasn't just white. They were all aside from the fact they were all yellow and there was like yellow stuff on each one. There was no enamel, which means that I was at a doctor. I visited the doctor once a week for like most of my life.
Oh my God.
Because I constantly would, because there was no enamel to protect my teeth. So I have like 20 root canals. I have a cavity. I've had a cavity in every tooth. Like it was pretty crazy. And kids did bully me for that when I was really young, like about me smoking cigarettes when I was 5. It was like, they circled me and they were like, do you smoke cigarettes? And they made fun of me. That's when I found out like I have really bad teeth. And then my parents got me, they redid my teeth and got me veneers when I was 5. But it's not like the rich people veneers. It was through insurance because it's a real birth defect. So half insurance covers and half they cover, but it's also technology back then was not as advanced. So my veneers were constantly breaking. I've had veneers, lumineers, capsules, like all these different bondings, all these words for different types of things my whole life. And then when I was daddy issues, I was anonymous and my smile always made me very insecure. Like remember when I moved to America, like the first boy, that's why I'm a late bloomer with guys. The first guy in the US, I remember we were taking a walk and you're just like, you have a nice smile when you smile because you have a dimple. And I started crying because I thought he was making fun of me. And I was just like, why would you say that? That's so mean. And the thought of like any boy ever kissing me would just be so embarrassing because I was just like, ew, like why would anyone want to kiss me knowing like how disgusting my teeth are? Like what if, and then I have to tell them what's wrong with my teeth and then they'll be like, ew, you let me kiss you after you have that in your mouth? That's so disgusting. Like that's how I thought people would take it. So I was just really embarrassed about my teeth. And then I started making jokes about it with friends. And it did make my life easier because I felt like it's no longer, no one can make fun of me for it because I'm making fun of it, but it was still my insecurity in the back of my head. And then when I finally came out, quote unquote, as daddy issues, I redid my teeth. Like I saved up and I got my, the celebrity veneers done, which are $1,800 a tooth.
Oh my gosh.
They're really expensive. You got
some good brand partnerships, bitch.
So it's instead of $50,000, I paid like $25,000, $30,000 because I got a discount from Dr. Daniel Nason. He's the best from Bedford Dental. He gave me a discount because we know each other. And he did my whole mouth. Gorgeous. Thank you. And now it's so funny. Everyone always tells me how beautiful my smile is and it feels really nice, but it's funny that like literally for 26 years, I was so embarrassed to smile.
It's also crazy because smiling is such like, they even say like fake smile and it makes you happier when like that was the thing causing you so much like insecurity and pain. Like that's a lot to go through. But I also love that it explains how like you can be so pretty with such a good personality because you have to deal with some shit, like you deal with some shit. But I also think being an immigrant, like because of the stress of like our families, like some immigrants have the best personalities. Like they say top comedians are like the Jews and the Italians, like
Jews, we're self-deprecating sense of humor. Some people say I have an ugly duckling syndrome or whatever it's called.
Can I end with a final game that I play on Burning in Hell with you?
Yeah.
It's called the Seven Deadly Sins.
Seven Deadly Sins.
What are you greedy about?
My men. Even if I'm dating five of them, like I don't even want them looking at anyone else.
So you have a jealousy streak?
Yeah.
Do you think like some guys like it or some guys are like, this is too much?
I don't show it.
Oh, so you're like on the down low jealous.
I'm on the down low. Sometimes guys that I date think they're like, I never even realized you even liked me. And I'm just like, I've been like, I know your whole family history and I know what you did at 2 p.m. with that girl. You guys went to lunch. You say she's your cousin, but she's actually your third cousin. I looked up on Instagram. So I just hold it in until it finally explodes, but I'm working on it.
How like obsessed are you with their Instagram activity?
Sometimes too obsessed, but I feel like that's when it's not healthy. And that's when it also now tells me that means there's something missing in the relationship because with men make me feel safe and comfortable in the relationship. I don't even look or check.
Yes. I think like we do have natural intuition. Like when you feel like something's off or when you feel like you can't trust him, it's not just your insecurity. They're normally giving you some type of vibe. I sometimes like, it's so easy to just look at who guys follow and easily get jealous. Like, oh my God, he followed that girl because he thought she was hot. Ugh! Like it's so painful. And we would never have that before social media, before you just like see him glance at a girl walking down the street and you're like, whatever.
No.
But seeing a guy follow them and know he's looking at their photos. Like I'm getting upset just thinking about it right now, but yeah. I try to just like not even acknowledge it. Or I follow hot guys on Instagram.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. I also follow hot guys on Instagram just to like, feel equal.
That's funny. I don't.
Who are you envious of?
Myself on my good days.
Oh my God, I love that answer. What makes a good day?
When I feel happy and thankful for my surroundings and like moments like that, I really try in to take in things now more and to really appreciate when things are happening to me in the moment, because I'm more of a person that I want more now and I always want more and I never take in anything. So for example, I went to Utah a few weeks ago and it was a moment where I just was looking at the water and the mountains, and just to be there, I started to be in tears, and I was just like so thankful about that I was in this moment right now. And like, so then 2 days ago when I was crying, I'm envious of myself on that day because I got to actually sit there and appreciate everything that I have.
I love the crying side to you. I love her. When was the last time you were a sloth? So like a lazy piece of shit. Because I feel like you're kind of a workaholic. Is that right?
Yeah. Can you tell?
Yeah. Because I can never have enough. I'm the same way.
I guess we're the hardest on ourselves. So I'm a worst critic. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of the times I'm being a sloth because to me, I feel like I'm not doing enough. So any moments where I'm not working, I can be hard on myself. And
do you think that's affect your dating? Like, do you ever like not go on dates or social activities because you're like, I need to work on stuff?
If anything, I feel like I had to switch it because I used to put men first. Mm-hmm. So like school, work, whatever, it's like a funeral. Who gives a fuck? You know what? This is already dead.
I have a dick appointment.
This date, well, it's like, this dick is like a once in a lifetime. You know, my grandpa will forgive me.
My grandpa won't know.
I'll pray for him later. So I feel
grandpa
like-
Grandpa would want grandkids.
Exactly. So if anything, I feel like I switched to now where I'm like, if I have work, now I have to tell myself like, put work first before this guy because you don't know if he's ever going to put you before his work.
Mm. So. You feel like as an entrepreneur, like, because I know we're doing so many different things. It's like we always have work to do. Do you ever feel like you're just like driving yourself a little insane with that?
Yeah. And that's when I've learned now to take those breaks, especially during quarantine. I feel like it's harder because it feels like there's no schedule. There's no time doesn't exist anymore.
No. So, do you ever take like a week off? Like I need your help. Like I don't know. I'll be like, oh, I don't want to do anything next week. And then like immediately in a day, it's packed with like appointments and podcasts and like meetings.
Yeah. I wouldn't say I take a whole week off, but like, even when I went to Utah, I tried to work, but it was really hard because I constantly didn't have service.
Yeah.
So just me fuming constantly. Cause I was just like, I can't work. And then eventually I just had to let it go. And I enjoyed a few days, but now because what we do is on our phones, I do take time off in a way that like at 9 PM, a lot of the time I put my phone away or my phone's always on do not disturb or on weekends, especially like I'll try to take one of the 2 days and I try not to work. Like mostly like, let's say on a Saturday, I do my best to really not work.
Oh, I'm the same. Like if I can't have one of the days, the weekends off, I definitely get like super anxious and I feel like I'm overwhelmed. But it's really a mindset thing a lot of the time. Sometimes it's not even like that hard something I have to do. Like I have 2 podcasts in the day and I'm like, I have so much stuff going on. But you have,
you have to put on your like your mental self. Like right now this morning, I could have cried, but instead I said, you know what? No, I'm recording with Hannah. So I'm going to make sure to put on makeup. So then I know I can't cry. And
or cry throughout the whole thing, but at least you're committed to do it. When was the last time you experienced extreme anger? Do you have an angry side?
I do have an angry side. when was the last time? It's hard. I feel like I'm so positive these days. It's hard for me to experience like anger, but I guess anger when things feel like out of my control. I don't want to say exactly what made me angry because looking back at it now, it feels so stupid. Me getting mad at my Instagram rep. Like that's how embarrassing it is. I'm so obsessed with like everything being perfect. Yeah. They messed something up on Instagram. Like I thought there was a bug on my account.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain it because I feel like people who don't, social media is not their job, will not understand what I'm talking about right now.
Oh yeah, because your life flashes before your eyes. You're like, I'm going to be homeless. I'm going to lose all my money. My engagement's down and this is where it ends.
Literally. And I was like, you guys are fucking, I literally was like, if you don't fix this, I'm going to make my account private and I'm just not going to post anymore. And they're just like, we don't care.
They're like, that just fucks you over, girl. Yeah, like, at least just stop emailing us. That would be nice.
But like, I feel like it was in the same day that other things were, it felt like all these things were out of my control and I'm a control freak. So I think I start to get angry about all that, and I'm bored and I'm alone and no one loves me. And my sister has a second child and I don't even have one. And then I'm angry at myself. Like, how dare I even make a comment about my sister? I should be so happy for her. That's disgusting. And I'm angry at myself about like this mortgage. Why do I live in this stupid house and I have to pay this mortgage? Ah, fuck, I'm alone again. Ah. And I was just like all these things that were not out of my control. And then I just got over it.
It piles up. Wait, so you finally bought a home. Congrats.
I bought a house last year, and it's being a homeowner. It's okay.
Well, like, you,
I feel like
why,
I should lie.
Why did you want to do it? Why did you want to do it?
I felt pressured. My dad kept talking about me doing it, and I saw a lot of my friends were buying houses, and I felt like it's a weird flex, and I felt pressured to do it. I didn't even want to do it. I was living in an apartment that I was in that apartment as an accountant. So I was renting, and it was $1,900 a month.
Oh my God.
So I was an accountant until now. And then when my friends would come over, they're like, V, you're rich. Why are you living in this place? But for me, it was never about things. Like, so I never put thought into it, but I always felt lived so comfortably because I had so much, not so much money in the bank, but I made good enough money to have in the bank. And I enjoyed my small apartment. It wasn't a big deal for me. But then
I felt such a cat person too. Like, we just like little cozy areas.
Yeah. But then I felt so precious. I bought this house. I didn't realize the size of it because I didn't really care. Like, I feel like I didn't put too much thought into it. But when I first moved into this house, which is like 3,000 mm-hmm. square feet. Mm-hmm. You can see it looks pretty
gorgeous.
I decorated really well, but when I first moved in here, I lived upstairs. And so in this like, spare bedroom that's kind of small. And so I just stayed to my living room and to my bedroom. And there was like a whole floor downstairs and everything. And I just didn't touch it for like 5 months because it was hard for me to like get used to living in a larger space. Yeah. But I will tell you something, which is really cool. If you believe in manifesting.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Okay. So when we first moved to America, my parents lost a lot of money and we were not wealthy in any way. We were pretty poor. And I remember I always looked at my parents at some of the things that my dad did that almost divided our family, but you know, we still stayed together. My parents were never able to buy a home, to afford a home in America. So we always just lived, we always leased like apartments or condos or townhouses. And I always was really embarrassed growing up of living in an apartment versus my friends had a house. And I remember at 14 or 15, I kept telling myself, when I'm 30, I'm going to buy a house in the hills with big open windows. And I just kept saying it. And I remember, and I imagined what it would look like. And I was like, when I'm 30, I'm going to buy, I just know that's going to happen. Because also when you're 14, 15, 30 seems like 70. So it seems so far away. Yeah. And then I bought a house last year when I turned 30. Oh. I bought a house, big house with big open windows in the hills. And it didn't even click in my brain until I was sitting in the balcony. And I'm like looking at this view. And then I remembered what I was used to say when I was 14, 15. And like my heart dropped because I was like, oh my fucking God. I manifested my dream house without realizing. I'm literally in my house is like my house is literally in the hills with the biggest open windows for lighting.
That's like your literal subconscious knew what you wanted and was like determined to get it and visualized it, and you didn't even. That's insane. But I totally believe in that shit.
Yeah.
Did you think you were gonna be famous?
I feel like no. I don't think. I think I always wanted to be popular.
Yeah.
So I always wanted to be popular in school, and regardless with school, because that meant I wasn't going to get bullied. Mm. So that's how I was always had it. And I'm very, like, my brain is very mathematical. So even in schools, like, I would just be like, okay, so Tuesday, if I hang out with Rachel, then I notice on Tuesdays, like, Lauren comes to that group and she hangs out in this other group in like the US school. That's how I would do it. And one time I created like a full on list for myself and like drawings to like figure out how to become popular. Like, that's how my brain works. It's so embarrassing. So I always had a need to be popular. So I feel like social media in a weird way.
It's like mathematical.
I wasn't working towards being famous. I was working towards being popular.
Like acceptance.
Yeah. And it worked. Now I feel like daddy issues first. She was my alter ego because she was so cool. Then I became her. Because I felt like accepted myself. And now I'm at the point with my podcast and everything, I surpassed her again. So she's my alter ego because I'm a little more grown than her.
And like evolved and complex. Do you feel like people are nicer to you in LA because you have a shit ton of followers?
I feel like sometimes I get, I'm overly nice though. Like I'm that person that's always been friends with everyone in school. Yeah. That one person that's just friends with everyone. So it's still me. Like I go to parties by myself and then I'll just force myself to talk to people because it's my way, because I have anxiety. So it's my way to overcome it.
So you challenge yourself.
I challenge myself. So I force myself. So it's my thing. I go to parties alone and I talk to everyone at the party and everyone thinks I'm the most confident one, even though I'm not. And it's because I know that everyone else is.
Oh, sorry. There's a bug.
He was like,
that's my friend. He's a bug. Get out of here.
It's because I know that everyone else is just as secure as me. So that's how I talk to people. But yeah, like sometimes not everyone's that nice to me. The minute a lot of times I find out I have followers, they get so much nicer. And then you're just like,
lame.
That's pathetic. Like, F off.
Do you hang out with other influencers in LA or like you made random friends or like who, what's your scene?
I feel like that's one thing that I didn't realize. I do hang out with a lot of famous people.
Mm.
And were you smiling at the fly?
No. My boyfriend just walked out from napping.
Now you're looking at the fly like, you're my homie.
Me and the fly are having a moment. Don't worry about us.
I feel like most of my friends are actors, famous people, or influencers. I didn't realize that until somebody was like, I feel like I can relate to you less because of who your friends are. And I never realized that I ended up, but it's because I interview people and then I become their friend. Like Christine Quinn, I interviewed her two episodes ago and I'm going to, she's having a private dinner at her house like this weekend. So I'm going to that. Or like Francesca Farrago. Oh, I interviewed her three episodes ago. Now she's moving in. She's going to be my roommate for the next 3 months.
Shut the fuck up. The content you guys are going to get is going to be amazing. But also that's, I'm like such a New York City girl. So I just envision LA as just like all the like actors and musicians and like creatives just like hanging out and like talking and like smoking weed or like coming up with like new collaborations.
But again, I'm friends with everyone, but I'm acquaintances with everyone. So it's very important for me for my own mental health now to have people that I'm actually really close with. So I do have some friends, quote unquote, that are quote unquote regular, who I've been friends with before daddy issues, but very few, like 4 or 5 that I know want nothing from me except my friendship and my love. And they be sane and stable and I love them and they make fun of me all the time. And that's how you know they're real friends, you know?
Yep, that's how you show affection, by shitting on each other.
Yeah, and the few influencer actor friends that I have are people that are very deep and I'm friends with them. We don't even post when we hang out. I'm friends with them for the deep conversations because I
understand some of your entertainment type stuff where your other friends might not.
Exactly. So I'm friends with everyone because I'm that person, but I'm friendly with them. I'm acquaintances. So sometimes it may seem like a lot of these people are my friends. We're exchanging social media stuff. Like this is really what it's about. We're hanging out because we both know we have followers and that's the truth. So that's why you have to, once you realize that a lot of these people are using you and you're like, oh, that's okay. I'll use you back then.
Uh-huh.
Then you find the real people you can actually be friends with.
Or like it starts with a like, oh, we both have followers thing. And then you're like, wait, I actually like hanging out with this person.
Yeah, that kind of happened with Francesca. Cause like, I didn't even think we vibed during our interview. And she said she already knew that we were going to hook up. And I was like, I never even saw that. Like, that's so crazy. Cause I didn't know we vibed. Like I didn't really get her. Mm-hmm. But then we somehow stayed friends. We did make out. And then I was like, you should move in. She's like, okay. And that's a whole U-Haul jokes. she's moving in. And so I'm friends with like even JoJo. She's a singer. She came on my podcast. We're friends now.
He's the shit. I'm obsessed with JoJo.
I'm gonna also, I think, soon have Demi Lovato on my podcast. I feel like anyone I've usually interviewed is people I'm friends with or become friends with after. So you're gonna have to become my friend now.
No, I've known about you for too long. You've been my friend in my head for a while. But I do think also like this is like getting coffee, and like an hour of coffee is so much more intimate than like a lot of things I do with friends anyway. Wait, are you afraid that you and Francesca might get too hot and heavy and then like get break up while living together?
No, because I think we have good boundaries. I feel like now we've hung out together. We travel together. We're on vacation together.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever happened already on vacation, I feel like has helped us see how we can live together in a small space. Yeah. And the good thing is that even though people don't believe in zodiac signs, we're both Scorpios. Mm-hmm. But the good thing about us is that she's like opposite of me. She's very quiet and I'm very talkative.
Yeah.
So that's, and I keep to my space and I'm very clean. Like I just didn't want to have a mess. Well, no, this is what it is. I'm very giving and I have a hard time admitting that. So I have to give an excuse. She had like 5 or 6 boxes in my guest bedroom and then like 3-4 suitcases. So I ended up just unpacking all of it for her and putting it in the closet and in the kitchen. But instead of just saying I wanted to do something nice for her, I was just like, well, it's because I'm like, I just don't like your mess. And it was cluttering everywhere. So I just had to, you know, I had to
show affection, do something nice, but with like a mean, like comment.
Like, just like my dad. Yeah. I was like, so, you know, that's why I spend the next 7-8 hours color coordinating the closet and putting everything for you to neatly that you're going to love, but only because it's like, oh, you're such a mess.
I'm dating a Scorpio right now.
I know.
And I'm Scorpio rising. Yeah. I'm Scorpio just rising.
Come off as a Scorpio. It doesn't really count. You're okay. Like,
I'm a fake ass Scorpio, but yeah, I'm such a Leo. Wait, you knew that already?
Obviously, I'm interviewing you. Of course I know this.
I'm like such a Leo. I have 2 more questions in our game. You're doing amazing.
Okay, we'll do quicker.
What are you gluttonous about?
Excuse me?
What do you overindulge in? Like, is there any food that you like? What's your guilty pleasure?
Ice cream and edibles.
Oh, hell yeah. Together?
No, ice cream, like I just started cutting it because I've noticed my body was like, haha, we're going to gain weight. And I was like, damn it. Come on. So I just stopped eating all the ice cream. I was like obsessed with this like double chocolate caramel ice cream that I was eating a lot of it. And I would eat like a whole packet every day thinking it's fine.
It would disappear. Yeah.
But like, I don't even leave my house anymore. So then it's not fine. Like I'm not really moving. So like I had to kind of cut back on ice cream. Like I've only cut back the past couple of days. And then edibles, I started taking them sometimes during quarantine. Cause I'm like, I don't really like to drink. Mm-hmm. I say I don't drink, but like I either don't drink or I black out. Like
go hard. Yeah.
There's no in the middle for me. So I don't like to drink I like to drink, you know, to go hard because it's like
I'm the same way. I don't drink just like to socially, casually enjoy a taste of Pinot Noir. No, yeah. Fuck me up or don't fuck me at all.
Exactly. Like I'm fun sober. Like I can't relate to you boring people that need like a glass of wine to be fun. Like I'm really annoyingly fun sober. So if I drink, it's still, you know, I have a purpose to black out. But anyway, so I randomly started taking edibles during quarantine, but then it was like my guilty pleasure. But then 3 days would go by. And I suddenly like opened my eyes and like, what just happened? And I was on edibles for 3 days and I lost 3 days of my life and gained like 10 pounds. So I've also learned that that's another guilty pleasure.
Moderation.
Yeah.
Moderation. When was the last time you lusted over someone? So when was the last time you were like super attracted to someone? And it could be a celebrity crush too.
No, I think this guy a while back, I was kind of into him. We were talking and I always felt like I wanted to touch him all the time. So I feel like we had that physical attraction. But I think now I realize because he kind of reminded me because he kind of looked like this guy that I was fucking in April.
Oh.
And I still miss fucking this guy sometimes. So I think that's what it is.
Yeah, it's the other guy. It's not him. I love that for you. So that was the 7 deadly sins. I went in. You survived. You did it. And just to like wrap up my section of hell, I like to ask my interviewee to give advice to people who listen. What do you do when you're going through hell? Like, what's your strategy of coping with your hell when you are in your dark place?
Allow yourself to feel it. I know, though, in the beginning, it sounds like I'm holding back or whatever. I'm just holding back because we're on the podcast right now, and I don't want to ruin my makeup. One thing that I've learned is to allow yourself to feel it. So if you feel like you need to cry, fucking cry. Everyone cries. No one cares that you're crying. Allow yourself to feel it because I've said this before. Just in the same way in school, when you're walking around and people keep putting books in your backpack is going to be heavy. And eventually you're going to have to stop and you're going to have to unload those books. It's going to be too much. And it's the same thing then for your emotional mental self. If you keep taking on all these negative emotions and all this sadness and all these feelings and you're not allowing yourself to feel, eventually it's going to be too much in your heart. And it's not only going to affect your heart, it's going to affect you physically and your body. Like recently, I had a really bad allergic reaction to my cat. And I woke up with like really puffy face, and it was because my immune system was low because I was feeling depressed and I didn't allow myself to feel those emotions, and it affected me physically. So don't get to that point. Allow yourself to feel, unload those emotions, unload those books, those textbooks, yeah. Feel it, cry it, and then be thankful for where you're at. A lot of times, sometimes when I'm feeling really down or ungrateful about my life, I just close my eyes and I pray. And if you don't believe in God, just pray to the universe. And I say everything I'm thankful for. I don't ask for anything. I just say everything I'm thankful for. And those moments humble me and make me feel good about myself. So do that. And also surround yourself with only people that make you feel good. Quarantine is already so miserable. You don't need more negativity. So if it's your phone that's making you feel negative, put your phone away. If someone in your life is making you feel negative, you don't need that person right now. Like, it's already hard enough. Yep. So I would say all those things.
So in this podcast collab, I actually just recorded on Too Tired to Be Crazy. So after you listen to this episode, go check out Violet's episode, Too Tired to Be Crazy. I went in on a lot of shit, and I hope you enjoy it.
Violet, you survived hell. You're the fucking best. Where can people follow you? What are you up to that people can like follow and buy or whatever, listen, watch, whatever?
Buy my underwear on eBay right now. Okay. Selling feet pics on Craigslist. Check me out. I should do that though. Okay. So people can find me on at Violet Benson on Instagram, at daddyissues_. It's my meme account. And then at Too Tired to Be Crazy. It's my podcast on Instagram and also on every social media platform, on iTunes, on Spotify. It's every Thursday. And I have amazing guests on, including Hannah. And then I also have solo episodes where I train you how to be the best bitch ass independent woman you can be. So check it out.
Hell yeah. So on brand for us. Thanks for coming to hell today, guys. And we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.